from a Rowdies who have made a huge upset.
Your 2021 Eastern Conference champion.
Attack play
score! Oh, that is a delicious goal for Tampa Bay.
And now, you're tuned into Tampa Bay's RBLR Sports.
It is 6:11 p.m. on this Tuesday evening. No more Jägermeister Cup for the Tampa Bay Rowdies. Doesn't mean there's no more Jägermeister for Rowdies fans. I mean, you can enjoy the drink responsibly. But you can't enjoy the cup anymore, at least with the Rowdies. Rowdies lose 2-1. Doesn't matter if 2-1, I think 2-1. 2-1 to the Charleston Battery in dreaded state of South Carolina. Some of the nicest people I've ever met over there, by the way, when I've taken my away trip to Charleston. Shout out to all of them. But Eureka, tough loss. It's unfortunate. We'll talk about it. We'll break it down. We'll mourn the loss of the Jägermeister Cup with Tampa Bay Rowdies this year. And we'll focus now on the regular season and shooting our way up the table. I'm joined by Eureka Wheeler, our famous producer in black over there. James is still on his adventures abroad. We miss him. See him soon back on the podcast. But until then, Eureka, a suitable stand-in. How are you doing? How's life back in the Tampa Bay area?
The Rowdies are not hot, but the temperature is very hot in Tampa. First time ever at 100 degrees, 100.
Yeah.
James also miraculously found Tampa Bay Sun stickers across the pond. I wonder how they got there.
Huh.
Massive club.
For sure.
How are you, Carlos?
Well, I'm great. I did see that James stumbled across some Tampa Bay Sun stickers abroad. That's fun. I would have been better with a better result. Like I said, it's the Jägermeister Cup. We all said we didn't care about it anyway. We've been saying that. We've said that all season.
Silly cup.
If you heard James or myself say otherwise, you were probably drinking too much Jägermeister. That's it. That's correct. You misheard, or you were under the influence of something.
You were wrong. Yes, that's right.
I've never been wrong in my life.
You've never been wrong, Carlos. No, they are wrong.
I'm turning my attention to the USL regular season. The only thing that matters, the Open Cup, doesn't matter to me. I don't remember when we lost.
Did we even play in that?
I have no clue.
When was that?
I have no clue. Yeah. We will talk about the last game of the Jägermeister Cup here in just a second. Unfortunate loss for the Rowdies, 2-1 in Charleston. I'll throw it over to Eureka in just a second here to take us through that. But again, Tuesday evening, 6:14 p.m. If you're tuning in live, please join the conversation. Always love hearing what people have to say live. If you're on YouTube, throw it in the comments. If you're on Twitter, shoot us a reply on the post, on the live stream, on the, what do they call it on Twitter? It's not spaces. Are we still calling them spaces? No, that's something else.
They are spaces. We are not live on spaces at the moment. We're on X though. Yeah.
Shoot us a reply. Hashtag ask RBLR. Or at RBLR Sports, at RBLR Rowdies, whatever you're feeling, shoot us a question. We'll talk about it on air, James. Eureka. By the way, we'll announce our ticket contest winner for the game coming up on August 19th. Again, that's one of the big fun throwback nights. It'll be cool to see late night kickoff, 9 p.m. against Phoenix Rising. We've been talking about turning the season around. It's a regular season game. It's the only thing that matters. It's the USL, so definitely get behind the boys and get your tickets for that game as well. Like and subscribe to us on YouTube. Follow us on Twitter, on Instagram, on Threads. We're everywhere. Anywhere you get your social media content, we're there. And anywhere you get your podcasts, we're there too. Like and subscribe to us on all of the podcast platforms, on YouTube, on the Apple Podcasts, on the Spotify's of the world. We're there. You can hear James and I and sometimes Eureka talk about the Rowdies and, of course, all of our fellow RBLR crew talking about the Lightning, the Rays, the Sun. Did I miss anybody? The Bucks coming into season soon. Super excited for that.
Yeah, just starting. Yep.
Yeah. It's an exciting time in Tampa Bay. Maybe not for the Rowdies, but there's still soccer to be left.
There's still a lot of soccer left to be played,
and it could get more exciting. Eureka, let's talk about this game against Charleston. There's a few of the Ralph's Mob crew that made the trip down there. Kudos to them for always getting
that. Was awesome.
Yeah, yes. Always making their way
with a drum. Places. With a drum.
Yeah, that was fun.
Let's go.
That was always fun. It's, by the way, before I throw it over to you, Eureka, it's always fun to see like Rowdy's fans in the crowd, whether it's people we know. It's always fun to see people we know, like the Ralph's Mob folks.
Yes.
But I feel like it's so rare these days now to turn on a Rowdy's game and not see at least one or two Rowdy's jerseys somewhere in the crowd. They stand out. It's hard to miss that bright green and yellow. And that always makes me feel warm and fuzzy inside. The Rowdy's, most of the time, I was going to say the Rowdies never play alone, but I was going to say the Rowdies mostly never play alone, but that wouldn't make any sense. You get what I'm saying. Making my way over to these away games. Eureka, take us into what happened against Charleston in our quick recap. Who started for us? Who played? Who was on the field for the Tampa Bay Rowdies?
Yeah. This is the end of the road for the Jägermeister Cup. I wish I had a Jaeger shot to give you, but I got is a Sapporo, which I don't even think is brewed in Japan anymore. I think they brew it here in America. So to the lads, they gave it their shot. Cheers to you guys.
I have some water. Right. That's what we're working with.
Water's a key ingredient in beer, so you were almost there. Well, let's see. We talked last week about basically when you are qualified as the top leader of the group. Even the announcers during the game said, quote, it would take a catastrophe for Tampa Bay not to advance, even as the wild card. And it was a wonderful trek to hear them keep up to the minute standings as the game was going on. But your starting 11 was Bandry and Net. This guy, we said last week, or at least I had theorized, we were going all in on this game. And the 11 did not disappoint. You had a starting 11 of Bandry, Van Kezel, Castellanos, Guillen in the back three, with Moon, Wyke, Crisostomo, Hilton, Bodily in a middle five, with Fernandez and Arteaga up top. Now, I'm sure all of us out there maybe want to make one or two your mileage may vary, but unquestionably, this is an 11 that is a no rotation, full send, starting 11 for this club. Maybe we'll talk through it towards what maybe we would have changed, but my overall thoughts are right from the beginning, classic USL quality. We have nice craters in the middle of the strip of the pitch in Charleston. I had tweeted a picture of the moon's surface as something that might have been very, very adequate to compare to. And we had the Michael Bay Transformers sunlight, sunshot for the first half of the pitch. So beautiful USL quality. I can't, of course, they're going to launch a Division One. No comments, no quotes, just top level quality from the United Soccer League. But us, for the first 15 minutes, this was a solid attack. The attack looked great. The passing looked great. The moving looked great. The press looked great. Even Danny Crisostomo had and I think this is a turning point, something we didn't see earlier in this season, is Crisostomo, little chippiness, a good little professional foul from him, stops a breakaway from happening. And although Charleston was sort of attacking our right side, the Guillen side of the back three, good defense from the Tampa Bay Rowdies. I think both teams sort of like brought it as far as they want. Charleston did rotate a little bit. They did start Jennings, but for them, they didn't start MD Myers. They brought him in as a substitute later on, but both teams kind of wanted it, even though Tampa Bay was sending the whole squad at them.
Yeah.
Hilton has the first great attempt of the match about 15 or so minutes in. Good defensive stop by Leo Fernandez to immediately start a breakaway, and a little give and go action from Arteaga back to Hilton. And Hilton tries to replicate his awesome goal that we put in the intro video. If you're on YouTube, you get to see the intro video.
Yeah.
And it just skids just over the bar, but still This is good. We are moving the ball. We are getting the most out of our possessions. Until Leo Fernandez makes a play to the sideline just about less than 30 minutes in, makes a play to the sideline. Beautiful cross that Arteaga kind of didn't read correctly, and the ball ends up just sailing wide. But then Leo motions to the sideline and sits down on the pitch, and I think he immediately knows something is wrong. Yeah. And Guillen comes over and immediately sort of like makes the rotating for those of you who are listening to this on Spotify, he's making the rotating, hey, it's time to make a substitute. And Leo is just kind of, he's kind of just sitting there in quiet contemplation. Not good. So yeah. Alvarez comes in, Leo is out, and Leo kicks the chair. I mean, he does walk off the pitch on his own accord, gingerly and softly, but he kicks the hell out of the seat that he's about to sit in, and that is not good. We, as of this moment, recording tonight on Tuesday night, we have not heard anything that we can report, and they have not said anything publicly about how he looks. If this was a, because they do make an immediate substitution, so I don't know if that's a precautionary, hey, this is a cup game, we need Leo for the rest of the season. I don't know if that's a precautionary move, or if I'm supposed to look at Leo's body language and his instant reaction to what happened. Yeah. Because it was sort of a non-contact. I mean, he makes the play. Yeah, he is challenged to the left side, but he's not taken out on a slide. Nothing of the sort. He just sort of gets it, makes the kick, kind of looks over to the sideline, and then takes a knee, and then is then replaced in the game. So yeah. Nothing to report, nothing that we can tell you that we know about Leo Fernandez's immediate injury diagnosis. So we wait on more news. As soon as we hear something, of course, at RBLR Rowdies, we will put something out. But
for sure.
From then on, pretty boring first half. Up until there's a couple moments towards the end of the first half, one that we will get into. But Blake Bottoli takes out the goalkeeper and the broadcast apparently with a yellow card foul on the keeper as he's attacking the goal. There's a little cross into Bottoli, and I think it wasn't a yellow. I think it was unfortunate that they came into some contact, but I'm not going to say that Charleston was diving, but there seemed to be on a video game, the slider was turned all the way up on the physics, because every time the Rowdies made a little bit of contact with Charleston, they seemed to just flip, flop, fly, and do backflips. This keeper may have embellished his physics engine.
He did get subbed off too, right? Am I making that up?
Yeah. He did.
To be fair,
we'll see.
Yeah, I mean, if I'm that keeper, this is a couple things on the lineup, right? Like we talked about Charleston having a little bit of rotation, not all that much. Believe it, yeah. That was the backup keeper. So Zamudio comes in for him. Sure. Yeah, I'd be surprised if he's embellishing too all that much. I'll call you out there, Eureka. But
sure.
I mean, I could see the reason for bringing that up. It was a bit soft, especially for Charleston standard, who likes to play like a lot of physical, you know, good soccer.
Oh yeah,
they felt a little light today or on the weekend.
Which. I'll extrapolate. I think the referee did an all right job. I think both teams wanted to get physical. I think both teams were a little chippy, which is this is a rivalry. This is a derby, you know. So yeah, it's the no quarter. How dare you disparage the no quarter derby? There is a case of beer on the line here.
I mean, okay, yeah, I like the case of beer part and the fun of it. We throw around rivalry loosely, but we can say that for another day. personally, if we're sidebar, personally,
yeah.
I would say I have a distaste more for like a Birmingham these days.
Sure.
Than I do Charleston. But that might be just because of Enzo. So, you know,
I think that's an Enzo Martinez fueled
hate. Yeah, I think it might be an Enzo Martinez rivalry more than a Birmingham, but I digress. Talking about Charleston's lineup, by the way, just a couple other guys who were rotated in, Leland Archer. Yeah. Surprisingly, I didn't realize Leland Archer doesn't actually get a ton of starts for Charleston this year. I think Akpunonu is how you say his name, has been getting more starts. But you point to him. Husu, who's a really, really impressive central midfielder for Charleston, also got the start instead of Aaron Malloy. But Malloy
a lot of yellows, though. But, I mean, Aaron Malloy would have been the starter to make.
Yeah,
but Husu's talented, just a lot of yellows, man.
Yeah, yeah. So Malloy comes in later on as well. And then the only other real notable rotation piece there for Charleston was Jeremy Kelly, who also very talented winger, but hasn't gotten a lot of minutes this year. Or certainly not a lot of starts for Charleston. They've got four matches in the championship for Charleston. Juan David Torres for
Charleston is usually who plays.
Yeah, and he was unavailable. I'm not sure why, but I know he wasn't available in that game. Commentators didn't add a mention. I don't think it was an injury. It might have been yellow cards. I have no clue.
No.
He wasn't available. Good, because he was my nightmare every time Charleston played the Rowdies. Didn't matter in this one, as we've talked about, 2-1 result against the Rowdies. But you talked about our lineup as well, you know, full sending it, putting in what I think could arguably be our best lineup, maybe with the exception of Pesillas has been kind of hot recently, right? You start him instead of Arteaga, potentially, if you're just running one striker. I love having Moon and Bodley in at the same time. I think especially in that first half, you saw a lot of the kind of strengths of the wing play that the Rowdies have available to them. Especially early chance, I think it was like the second or third minute, Moon has a beautiful, beautiful look on the back post, essentially by himself. I think you mentioned it earlier, Eureka. Bodley puts in a good ball, and he's back there by himself. Unfortunately, I think he needs to do a little bit better, put a bit more power on it with how much time he had. I think he could have seen a really good chance there, but an easy save for Garner for Charleston. And like you said, throughout that first half, there was a couple decent looks. I felt pretty good throughout most of that first half. Obviously, at the end, with the 10 minutes of stoppage time after the injury, like, things get shaky, right?
Yeah.
We've had, and this has been a theme throughout the year, on top of just dropping points, we've dropped them in a lot of last-minute scenarios.
It's frustrating,
There's been a good chunk of last-minute in the half goals conceded. There's been, unfortunately, from my taste, like, way too many late goals conceded to drop points. So I think that's really tough for a player, because you go into half down 1-0 when you've played what you feel like is a solid half. Charleston didn't really throw that much at you despite having a good lineup, despite looking like mostly the Charleston that's at the top of the table right now. You played a really great, you played a good first half of soccer that could have with a slightly, you know, luckier bounce or a bit more finesse on Arteaga's shot that went just wide of the post. A bit more luck and you're up 1-0. Like, there was a few good looks there between that Moon cross. Hilton had a shot from the top of the box.
Yep.
Kind of on a breakaway chance.
Arteaga
and him connected, lovely little 1-2 there.
Yep, before half.
Yeah.
Solid work by him and Chrysostomo, and Hilton creates the defense. And Arteaga just he beat the keeper and it just goes over the top 90.
Yeah. And if you go back to the 15th minute, Lewis Hilton, good luck, top of the box, has Wyke on his right sprinting. Maybe he has, I don't know. It's hard to judge it. It's easy to judge it from up here, right? When you're looking at the highlights. And the game back, you have Wyke kind of open. There's some space for him there to lay that off and finish that. But honestly, I think Hilton makes a good choice to rip that from the top of the box. You can go, you can be the judge of that in the 15th minute.
No, it's a good attempt.
Yeah, I think it's a great attempt. Unfortunately, it goes high. Maybe keep it low, a little lower. And you test the keeper, who, again, is a backup keeper, unexperienced. But again, that pointing all of that out to say that the first half was peppered with some good Rowdies chances. That's not something we've been able to say in a lot of the games this year. And then again, one quick moment that kind of throws a lot of it out the window. I wouldn't say it just kind of throws it all away. It's kind of dramatic, but you lose that good mojo you had going right there.
Yeah.
Especially in a must-win game, Eureka. Like, we've been talking about this Jägermeister Cup game. Like, we're joking about it not being real or not counting. But, like,
right.
If you knew you were coming into this in kind of a must-win situation, you could see there was some heart out there in that first half. And then, unfortunately, there was just some miscommunication between Bodily and Hilton on who was guarding basketball. Who was guarding? Can people say that in soccer? I feel like people
sure you can. Marking?
Yeah, marking, that's the word.
Okay.
Who was marking? Who was that for Charleston to put that ball in? Whoever they had on the wing.
On the throw-in?
Yeah.
Yeah. Yeah, that was horrible.
Yeah. Whoever was marking that guy on the wing for Charleston.
Yeah.
You know who it was? It was Rubio Rubin. Rubio Rubin was on the wing wide open on that throw-in.
Right.
And puts in a ball that, unfortunately, it takes a silly little deflection off of Castellanos and goes to the goal.
Just a deflection. It's just a
A little bit of blame to go around on Hilton and Bodily. A bit more communication there needed to really stay on your guy. And then, of course, Castellanos. I don't know how much you could say about that. Maybe like stay on your feet a little bit longer to get a good clearance on that. But it's
maybe.
He was there, man. Yeah, and we had two guys there. Kyle Jennings was behind them. It was going to be a tough finish for Cal if he got there, but unfortunately, how things go. And that's the end of the first half. All that to say, the first half was okay for the Rowdies against the top team in the USL right now. I think better than Louisville.
Yeah, you're proud with a 0-0-45 result. Yeah. You're proud of a 0-0.
Not a 0-0 result where you're just sitting back and letting Charleston take it to you, right?
Yes.
It's a 0-0 result away where to Dom Casciato's, philosophy, you're going for the win, you're attacking, whatever. That's good. That's dandy. Like, you don't
100%.
The Rowdies, it's always been frustrating this is the case for everybody. When your team's going in there to an away game, sitting back and just kind of waiting for that goal to come for the other team or looking for that counterattack. That's not what we were doing. It's good because it's not really what Rowdy soccer has been about for most of the time I've been around watching the Rowdies. But we've seen a bit more of that this year than we would have liked, even last year a bit. But this is good. So that's all positive. Unfortunate mistake at the end. That's the first half. Eureka, you talked a little bit about the second half. What else did we see? Did we see anything of note here? Like, there wasn't a ton going on.
No.
Pacias did have those two good looks.
He had one solid good look immediately. Yeah. So it's like second half, to be honest, I can recap this very quickly.
Yeah.
In the first, right out of the half, couple chances, nothing great. Charleston basically owned all the possession. Like, they came out in the second half and they owned all of the possession.
Yeah.
There was a couple chances. Bodily comes into Wubens and it just goes right off the bar. Beautiful cross in by Bodily. And Woobs is right there, makes a good play. It just didn't go over. Yeah. From that moment, literally, there's not a lot going on. They own the possession. We can't really do anything. We can't create anything until stoppage time. Skinner, Joey gets a header on a solid cross, another solid cross from Bodily.
Yeah.
But at this point, they're up 2-0. They had scored, and even the goal they scored just kind of sort of came out of nowhere, and they get in a final third and they execute. And we bring some guys, nothing was a game changer. Bringing in Skinner, bringing in Ollie, like, at this point, we're down a goal. We're down 2 goals, and then we give up a goal. We get a goal back at the very, very end. But it wasn't very. I don't know. Like we said, this was a must win. Have to get it. Need a result. There's other games going on. You can't rely on the other games. You have your destiny in front of you.
Yeah.
As close as we're going to get to a, you control your destiny, you can just get it. And unfortunately, like you said, we play a really solid first half up until the very last second. And then again, this team this year, a coin flip and it doesn't go our way.
Yeah.
And then our response doesn't matter who got substituted. They didn't really sit back. Charleston owned the possession the rest of the game. I put myself through a rewatch and it didn't feel good on Saturday, and it felt even worse to watch it again on tonight. So,
it didn't help that obviously, with the Leo Fernandez injury.
Sure.
In that first half, I think that kind of sours it even more so if you're just looking at it from an emotional, perspective, how we're talking about this as fans.
It's horrible.
If you zoom out and you're like, okay, Luis Alvarez is coming in off of the bench for the Rowdies, that's good news. That's not a position we were in earlier on in the year when Leo was hurt. We didn't really have many or anyone to turn to in that kind of spot. So you still have, all things considered, and I think we can speculate about the Leo Fernandez injury. I would just, based off body language, based off the vibe, I would guess it's not looking super positive in terms of a quick return.
Hoping for good news.
Certainly. That being said, you still have the pieces there that you didn't have earlier on in the year to not only fill in, but kind of supplement the Rowdies right now. I mean, you brought in Alvarez off of the bench. You had Bassett on the bench. He came in later on in the game. Skinner as well has been pretty solid coming off the bench. He got the goal tonight, or on the weekend, obviously.
Yeah.
And I'm not sure going forward if Arteaga starting over Casillas is the best line of attack, but either way, you have one of them starting, one of them on the bench. You have a good little bit of depth at most of these positions.
Yeah.
By the way, it's funny seeing Forrest Lasso come in in the 80th minute and play as a striker. He had a shot that went way high after Woobs kind of clipped post with that shot in the 83rd.
Tallest striker in the game. How about that?
Yeah. Yeah. But yeah, it's one of those things where it's with Woobs coming in, it's good to have a guy like him coming off the bench for sure. But I would imagine we see him starting sooner rather than later. Speculating, just a guess.
Yeah.
Also, you need to finish some of those good looks, though. You know what I mean? He has been a guy who has had a good chunk of interesting goals where things don't really seem to be happening. He just kind of makes a chance happen and puts in when that shot's at the far post. He's really good at that. And he almost made that happen in the 83rd, 84th minute in that chance that I just mentioned. Not a lot of space, but he almost bends that to the back post and slots that in. But we also need, the guy up top to finish those good looks from a guy like Bodley. Great pass. Yeah. We just need that to go in if we have any chance of turning things around in this one. It's unfortunate. But again, all that being said, zooming out, you have the pieces there between who you actually have on the field and who you can bring in off of the bench. I'd like to see a bit more from Ollie Bassett, especially knowing that he's kind of the engine, attacking minded kind of midfield / winger we can count on to come in and throw something at the wall and see if it sticks. Just a little bit more. I don't know. I feel like I want to see a bit more out of him, especially if he's coming off of the bench to kind of impact the game. And my last thing on the subs, again, just shouting out Joey Skinner, because I thought he came in really well, had a good look. I never really thought that he would be one who produces a ton offensively. And it's safe to say he has. That's not really his role, I think.
Yep.
But he came in, he scored a goal, and he looked good doing it. He looked comfortable. I think this is a guy that I'm becoming more comfortable trusting with coming off the bench towards the end of a game.
Yeah.
Whether that's to close out a game or whether it's to even look for a goal potentially.
Yeah.
I'm a bit more comfortable as we've seen him develop with the Rowdies, seeing him in that role. So all that being said, Eureka, I keep calling you James almost
How many years have you done shows with James versus how many handful of times have you and I done a show together, buddy?
It's been years. That's crazy. All that being said, Rowdies lose 2-1.
Yep.
That Indy Myers goal in the second half, like you said, just silly. A long ball on the ground. It wasn't a thrilling like Aaron Molloy is a solid player. This wasn't one of his best like works. You know what I mean? This was this was a solid weak ball down the middle, and MD Myers just, you know, was able to beat Van Kaziel to the ball, and unfortunately put it together a really nice little finish at the end, but just a silly, silly goal to concede. And that's the one that put the nail in the coffin, because of course Rowdies needed to win this one, needed three goals in the last 20 minutes. That wasn't going to happen. There was a moment actually for most of that first half, Naples was up against Greenville. And there was a moment where the Rowdies just really needed a draw to make that first place finish happen. Yeah. Either way, didn't matter. We didn't get the draw. Naples didn't win. Rowdies lose 2-1. I think that's everything I had on this game.
Okay. Eureka.
Yeah. Do you have any other notes specifically about the game?
I do. We didn't get outplayed, at least in the first half. I mean, like, the total, if you want to go by XG, like, we had 1.7 XG versus 0.48. Charleston didn't dominate us and beat us into submission, and they were the better team. None of that is true. It's just we gave it a first half that was solid. We gave up a really weird, fluky goal. Stop me if this sounds familiar. And then the second half, the few chances that we did get, we didn't do anything with.
Yeah.
So looking forward to the next game, it's like, where do you build from there? Like, you know, we've heard baby steps. We actually have a new regime. We have a new head coach, and, you know, listening to his interview that he did with us, which you should listen to in the archives at youtube.com/@RBLR Sports. You know, this is now the third week that he's been with us. So not a lot of time to make changes, not a lot of, earth shattering revelations to make, but we're kind of standing at this point right now where we go, we aren't getting completely ran out of town by these teams, but we're not taking advantage of the little opportunities that we get. Like, these little tiny coin flips are all going against us. The we work so hard to get a good chance, which we had, I don't know what the real stat is, but three really, really, really good goal scoring opportunities that went just a little wide, or God forbid, we hit the crossbar a week ago. We're just like 5 millimeters off from being up 2-1, being up, like doing all this kind of stuff where it goes like, we shouldn't lose all hope, but nothing's going exactly our way.
Yeah.
So we're in this weird purgatory state where I'm like, I'm not dejected. I don't think we have a bad team. I just think, like, how many times can we flip the coin until we get what, like, the odds are we should get a couple of these every once in a while. But we haven't. And it keeps racking up. And now we go from, we were at the top of the Jägermeister in our group. And then we, 90 minutes later, we're gone. We're out. See ya. And it feels like, not that it got stolen from us, but like, how do you go? Like, then we're out. And coach had even said, like, the other team was more clinical in the final third and everything. And you know, technically that's right. They scored two goals. They scored one goal. They had an own goal go for them. Yeah, it just, well, but now you compound that with the Hartford game, which was also not very entertaining, where again we barely scrape away with that, and then you have now the San Antonio game, which should have maybe been a draw, if not a win, that turns out to be a loss in the very last second, and that's the experience of the Tampa Bay Rowdies fans for the last month. As we wait, it was still a couple more weeks until we can see them again at our own home. But as we watch on Glosso and ESPN Plus, it's been a very daunting time on this road trip. So while I'm not dejected, I'm also, this hasn't been very fun, Carlos.
Yeah. So I'm at a blast. If anybody's curious, you probably saw, or I don't know if you care, Sacramento Republic wins Group 1, San Antonio Group 2, Indy 11. Hey,
Neil's still in it. Good for you.
Rhode Island and Hartford had the biggest mid-off in Group 4 between two like very much bottom-of-the-table teams in our conference, but they finished first and second over there in Group 4. So there's some interesting matchups because if you look at the quarterfinals of the AAMeister Cup, Indy versus Greenville, Rhode Island, Birmingham, Loudoun, Sacramento, San Antonio, Hartford, none of those teams are ones that I would point to as super likely to win the USL championship. Especially Greenville because they're in League One, but
they might have to do some work to win the USL championship. Yeah.
I would imagine this would prevent anybody from really, at least just on face value, these quarterfinal matchups, I think would prevent anybody from going after the double this year in the USL championship. I don't think that's too much of a hot take. I think if you look at the top teams in the league right now, it just feels like they maybe didn't take this tournament all that seriously, potentially focusing, putting all their eggs in the basket of the USL championship. It's interesting. Something to take note of because again, Charleston Battery, Louisville, they're not in the next round. FC Tulsa, who's in first place out west, is in the next round. San Antonio did sneak in, and they're in second place out west. But just keep an eye out. Maybe someone makes a surprising run and gets a double, but something to note there. Zooming out one more time before we jump into the man of the match, I really just want to point out, if you're feeling existential right now and you're kind of, do I go to the next Rowdy's game or not? Like, it's easy to feel just kind of down after this game this weekend and, the season we've had. But it's so funny to just open FOTMOB and look at the table and see that we're only 4 points out of playoff position still.
We're still so close into it, guys.
I'll run you through some numbers, right?
Yeah.
Rhode Island is in front of us in 10th place with 17 points. We have a game in hand on them.
Yes.
That's cool. Good to know. The current 8th place team is Birmingham Legion with 18 points, and we have 2 games in hand on them. We're on 14 points. And Miami is in 9th place, also on 18 points. Played the same amount of games as us. Like, Miami's not – like, it's so interesting because after everything we've been through, it's time to turn the page and just focus on the USL championship.
Yes.
I think you're justified if you want to say – or if your philosophy right now is, okay, this is a – trial run year, we're going to just prep for next year. Casciato is going to implement his style and his philosophy. We're going to focus on turning the page for next season. I wouldn't blame you if that's your philosophy, but I think there's a lot there is a lot of soccer left to be played, and meaningful soccer as of now. That can change if 3 or 4 games from now we still haven't picked up another win, right? After that, things might be maybe get more complicated, but it's not out of the realm of possibility. It's not going to be like a miracle run like Eureka and I, we talked about before we started going live. It wouldn't be a miracle run if the Rowdies get 2 wins in the next 5 games
while
they're in the playoff position. You know what I mean?
Exactly. Yes.
It's not unrealistic at all, especially because, again, we've seen the pieces. The pieces are there, right? We have reinforcements. We've gotten some good backups here, some good depth pieces. We signed another striker this weekend, right? Or last week. Indy 11 is our game coming up. We'll talk about that in just a second.
Yep.
Indy's not the best team in the East right now. They've been kind of hot, actually, in the last few
games. Yeah, they're on a good tear,
I'll tell you my Indy stat in just a second. But zooming out, like, there's a lot of soccer left to be played here. We have so many games of championship action. Like, these games are still meaningful. Yep. But again, that can change in 4 or 5 games, right? If we're still losing L. Then you start to question, okay, well, maybe we start to throw away the season. But for now, one win and you're literally 1 point away from the position. It's ridiculous. So ridiculous in a good way. It helps us, right? So I'm not going to complain, but that's where we are right now.
Well, Carlos, so for me, I go, what are we, other than luck, which, to be honest, is a thing.
Yeah.
What are we missing? We've now changed the coach twice.
Yeah,
we've brought in some players, which one of them we didn't see our newest transaction on the pitch this time, which is fine.
Or the bench.
He wasn't in the 18.
Yeah.
So I have an answer for this, but like, we are very close, but yeah. I do know some people are just kind of like, well, let's lower our expectations. Let's not worry about the playoffs. Let's just have fun. Let's make some TIFOs. Let's do the thing. Let's go cheer. Let's
which is important.
Please go to the games. Like, don't let any pessimism stop you from enjoying this 50th anniversary season.
Yeah.
The crowd is great. The mob is great. Go. These guys are not out of it. We are trying. No one's giving up. Okay. But if we're going to if we're going to be pessimistic, realistic, if I have to take the James role in this mode, which he picked a loss, and we picked wins, he picked a loss, a two, he picked it right on the nose. He gets 3 points. We don't. Okay. So if we take that route, I have to say, okay, then what are we missing? Right. We're making changes. They're spending money. They're going and getting people. They're trying to make changes. The front office has not given up on 2025 as a playoff run. Okay. And like you just pointed out, we're still not that far out. To me, maybe I showed my cards a little too early. This team, unfortunately, I don't know if it's they need to get punched in the mouth before they try to, and we didn't see it this game. They got punched in the mouth and they got punched in the mouth again, and then they lost. They were down 2 goals until the 90th plus stoppage time, okay? And that team didn't put on a bunch of shots on goal. Like, MD Myers' goal was their one or second shot on goal the whole game. So we're seeing little improvements, but where is, and this might evolve, we've had too many comeback victories. The last three home games have been three comeback home victories.
Yeah.
Where we go down, then we figure it out, then we get it going. Okay. When do we take all this potential, all this talent, all this experience, all this stuff we've done on paper, and when do we lead on the front foot? They tried this game. And I thought they were good for 45 plus whatever.
Yeah.
And then Leo goes down, and then we score a goal, and then we give up an own goal, and then we don't do anything in the second half. At what point does this roster show its complete A game? We just got our first clean sheet the other week. And the defense has been looking better. Like, I don't mean to be completely pessimistic, but I have to say, that's what we need to see to make a believer, I think, out of some people, to say we can make a run. And when we do get a playoff spot, it's not impossible to think that we can get hot, play the good soccer at the right time of the season, flip the switch, make a run, and put some belief into people's minds.
Yeah.
So while I don't doubt that people can be pessimistic on this, I see validation in some of those criticisms where we go, as much as we're trying, as much as we're putting resources, as much as we're doing things to make changes, I still have to see it. I have to see the start to finish from zero to 90 and plus, unfortunately, that we take care of business. To me, that's the difference. Yeah. I don't know the next time I'll be on the show. So I have to make my point clear that, like, we have to take care of the business. We've seen incremental changes and incremental improvements and baby steps and all this kind of stuff that I don't want to repeat anymore on this podcast. I need to see the real action from zero to 90 plus to make the difference in why we make a run. The table's not getting any, as much as it's very clear, the schedule's not very easy in the next couple months to make the run. We've already played Miami. We've already played Hartford. The easy wins are not coming. We're out of the Jaeger Cup. We're out of the Open Cup. We have to go to North Carolina is still on the docket. Like, there's still very tough games ahead that we no longer need baby steps. We need Neil Armstrong leaps for mankind.
Yeah.
That's what we need.
Yeah. The good news is we've also gotten Charleston's and the Louisville's out of the way at this point.
Sure.
That's a good point. That is a good point. You get a lot of mixed bag here. You look at the rest of the schedule. We can talk about that later episodes, but it's a good mixed bag. There's good games. You have three home games in a row from August 30th to September 13th. And hopefully those are good results. You have the homecoming of Neil Collins, by the way, on September 6th. That'll be fun.
There's
all that being said, tough games, good opportunities sprinkled in with some must-win games in there. You've seen sparks of the Rowdies at full potential within the last month. I think you saw that against Indy at home.
It's true.
Topical. We'll talk about Indy in just a second.
Yep.
We'll talk about – not we won't talk about – but you saw Naples as well. I mean, Naples is a League One team. But we've seen them play really great soccer this year. We went down there and played a great game against them as well, and it was full 90. It was comfortable. It wasn't really ever in doubt, that result in Naples.
Sure.
That was a great – so you've seen it in
– I agree. I believe –
yeah, especially in the last month. So it's just a matter of how much longer until we see it on a more consistent basis. And again, still plenty of soccer, but, you know, every game is one less game, if that makes any sense. So
no, and there's even less games because of the Jägermeister Cup.
Yeah.
Every game means that much more in the league.
Yeah.
Because there's not as many.
Yeah. 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 Anyway.
Yeah.
That's the Charleston game. We lost. We're out of the Jägermeister Cup. Doesn't matter. USL Championship time. Let's jump into Indy after this. Man of the match for the Charleston game, Eureka.
Quick and easy. Danny Chrysostomo.
Yeah.
I thought he was feisty. I thought I haven't been on the show every week, but my personal criticism, Danny Chrysostomo flipped it on the head. He was making contact. He was getting in there. He was
– yeah.
A lot of this game was in the midfield, and I thought Danny Chrysostomo had a phenomenal game defensively. He even made a couple good moves on transition to make offensive things happen. I was blown away by the play of Danny Chrysostomo this week.
Sure. I'm going to throw in an easy Bodily choice here for me. Like I said, I liked having Bodily and Moon in together. It's the first time we've seen them start together, I think, all year. Super fun. He had a great game. But a lot of our attack generally comes from the wings. I think he certainly was no exception to that in this game. And the chances that we did have that were, in my opinion, some of our best looks were created off the boot of Blake Bodily. So I'm running with him as my man of the match. Quick shameless plug here before we jump into the Indy 11 game. Liking and subscribing to this podcast is free, but if you need some new threads, go ahead, check out shop.rblrsports.com. Online store and use the promo code COYR for 10% off your purchase. There's so much good content on there. There's good stuff, fun designs that Eureka's worked up over there for your Rays games, your Bucks games, your Lightning games, of course, your Rowdies games. Again, that next home game is August 16th against Phoenix Rising, 9 p.m. kickoff. Get some new gear and wear it to Owlink Stadium for that late night kickoff. Something fashionable, something cute that you can wear to the bars in downtown St. Pete after. You're going to get out of the game. It's going to be like 11:15 at the earliest. So you might as well look good while you hit the bars in St. Pete. Okay, Eureka.
Yeah.
Let's talk about Indy 11. It's time. Yeah. Throw the Jägermeister Cup out. I hate that tournament. Doesn't
Jägermeister Cup? That was a thing?
I don't even like Jägermeister.
It's horrible. It tastes like roots and it's not good.
Yeah. Sucks. The USL Championship, much more eloquent, much more, that's not the right, much classier tournament, much higher level. We always talk about the championship.
The biggest league in the world, Carlos.
The premier soccer tournament on the planet.
Yes.
And we play Indy 11 in it this weekend, Saturday, August 2nd, 7 p.m., up at that goofy little IUPUI soccer stadium that always gives me a good kick. But good field, I guess. It's turf. It sucks. It's whatever. And the Rowdies, Eureka, I'll give you a number here. The Rowdies have struggled there over the course of our series with Indy 11.
Is this your Indy stat?
This is my Indy stat for this game.
Okay.
Two wins, three losses, and five draws. So not necessarily a ton of losses down there. We go down there and play some boring games. Historically, it's a lot of good chunk of 0-0s, 1-1s. But if you look at the turn of the decade, to the 2020s, ever since we've kind of shifted into this relationship with Indy in the USL, right, after the NASL era, the Rowdies in their last three games over at Indy 11 have won two games and drawn once. So undefeated over there in our last three games. I think that was when, Indy joined, actually. I'll have to fact check myself. In our last three trips over to Indy, 2 wins and 1 draw. So our fortunes have turned around over there compared to our history over there in the last, what, they joined the NASL in like 2016, 2017. They've been around for a little bit.
Yeah.
And we struggled over there early on. In recent years, things have changed. We've kind of figured it out, potentially. It doesn't matter. It's a different regime. This is just a fun stat. It doesn't really affect anything. But we're going to go over there and we're going to play a game. Indy has played some decent results as of late. Eureka, they are currently in 7th place in the table. They've been slowly climbing after a really mixed bag of a start. Actually, I'd lean towards more negative of a start than anything. They've had a lot of draws, a lot of losses in that early portion of the year. Of course, they had that loss to the Rowdies in back at the end of June. A great win for us. And that, I think that was the weather delay game. Yeah, the super late game that went on in the middle of the Wednesday night. Since then, they've drawn against Birmingham in the Year Metro Cup. They had an impressive 3-0 win against a solid Monterey Bay side at home. They beat Rhode Island 1-0 at home. Rhode Island's nothing to write home about, but they did beat them at home. Yeah. And then they lost to North Carolina away, who's having a really great year. That's our game after this, so keep an eye on them. And then most recently, a 2-1 win against FC Tulsa in the Eager Metro Cup to win that group and host Greenville in the next round of that tournament. They have some really, really interesting players. I went back and looked at the game against the Rowdies, and of course I looked at the highlights from this past weekend's game against Tulsa for them. A lot of their play, a lot of their best chances, again, were also coming on the wing. Similar style to the Rowdies. We knew this from the last time we played them, just, what, under a month ago.
Yep.
And back then, we pointed to Romario Williams as a really, you know, important player for them in the attack. That was the case in this one. He got one of their goals. I think he was involved in the own goal that Tulsa scored as well. So he was on the end of that. I'll just point you to Bruno Rendon, the Cuban right midfielder for Indy as well. He was key for their chance creation against Tulsa. Again, wide player, stays out on the kind of hugging the sideline and puts a really good ball into mostly Romario Williams, but often found a Jack Blake as well, who was playing really interestingly in an attacking midfield kind of role.
Yes.
A rowdy Jack Blake, never really associated him all that much with the attack, but he's kind of shifted into more of an attacking role with Indy recently.
He's killer. Yep.
And he's a killer. He's got a great shot from outside the box. He can finish well. Behind him in the midfield, you've seen Cam Lindley, of course, a really, really, really solid veteran of the USL, James Murphy. Aiden Quinn is a really interesting piece for Indy. We talked about this with James when we last played Indy. Indy has a ton of great talent in the midfield, but it seems like they're all central midfielders. So don't expect a lot of pace from Aiden Quinn at his age. Not that he's super old. He's 33. Still got a lot left to give. But don't really expect him to see him like sprinting down the wing or anything. He's a central midfielder who's kind of been forced out wide a little bit. You make your way back. Hunter Soltis had a great year for Indy in goal. He's solid. Ofemu on the back line with O'Brien. And, of course, James Musa, who also veteran of the USL at this point, was on some of those really, really elite Phoenix Rising squads a few years ago. Colorado Springs, 2024. Great, great player on the back line for Indy. So lots of things I just threw at you, James. Or,
yeah.
My gosh, do you see that?
Eureka, yeah.
Eureka. But the point is that we beat them once already.
And we did. 3-1.
It's 3-1. It was an impressive, like you said, we got punched in the mouth before we turned things around and made anything happen. Scored 3 unanswered in that one.
Yeah.
This will be a really interesting game because I feel like on paper, we match up rather well with Indy. I think player for player, we have a slight edge, especially because we play a very similar style. I think if the Rowdies on a good day, like they were against Indy last month, beats this team more often than not. The hard part is that Indy's been playing solid in the last 3 or 4 games, especially at home.
Yeah.
If you want to look at history of the last 3 times we've gone up there, we played okay. So maybe that helps your mindset a little bit going into this game. Right. Kind of started to figure out their number at home. But again, they've started to figure things out after a shaky start to the year. They're playing good soccer right now. And of course, they have a really, really solid, they have a good roster. A bit confusing in the midfield with how many, you know, central midfielders by trade they have crowding the field, but they're solid. So it's going to be interesting. I'm curious to see how it goes. It's funny to me that Jack Blake is currently their top scorer in league play. Like, it's
Add to that. Jack is this year dangerous scorer, killer chance creator this year.
Yeah.
He wins. And the thing is, too, up top, more attacking this year, he's getting fouled. He earns fouls. He creates chances. He's killing it. And he's a good defender up top too. He's very solid this year.
And he's racking up the assists too, by the way. He's got 5 goals and 4 assists. It's kind of rare to see someone kind of like with that level of matching goals and assist ratio. But he's solid. Yeah. Aiden Quinn's creating all their chances.
Jack does get a lot of yellows though, which I like. I think that's phenomenal for us. Aiden Quinn too, just to add to him too, maybe he paces himself, but he plays every minute. Pretty much. He's also don't sleep on him. He'll score. He's an accurate passer and he's a solid defender. So he's a little long in the tooth, but he's kind of that USL championship center midfielder. Maybe they don't play exactly the same, but he's like the Lewis Hilton of their team. You know, he's just the dude you don't want to mess with. And you might pick a flaw out on paper, but when it comes to the pitch, he's legit.
And if you look up top as well, they have some interesting pieces off the bench.
Malik Foster's up there too.
Yeah, I think their striker core is so interesting to me because they have, of course, Romario Williams up top who scored, again, one of their goals this week against Tulsa.
Yeah.
And then coming off the bench, you had not only Malik Foster, but you had Edward Kizza, who's been a solid striker at this level. He had 12 goals for Pittsburgh last year. One of their more influential players in that season last year, if you recall, that Pittsburgh finished way up top in the Eastern Conference.
Yeah.
So they have kind of a wealth of good players here on the squad.
Sure.
I'm surprised it's taken them this long to kind of start to figure it out. And again, I think they are figuring it out.
They give up too many goals is the big
thing. Yeah, that's true. But that attacking rotation is really interesting to me. Dangerous. Yeah. They're not individually producing a lot of goals, but Romario Williams has 4 goals, Kizza has 2 goals, Foster has 2 goals. And on top of all of that, someone who I didn't see on the bench against Tulsa is Elvis Mo, who we know has given us
problems. Also,
I don't know if he's injured, but it's a question mark. He's good. He's always a wild card for us. Or for them. Well, I guess for us.
Yeah.
Whatever. That's my recap of Indy 11. That's my read on them. I'm not the tactical mastermind that I claim that James is. I don't think he claims
it. He doesn't claim it either, but we both know he's the man.
Yeah. That's my read on Indy 11. I think tactically it's a very even matchup. You see a lot of the similar tactics, the formation is similar on both ends. But there's a lot of, like I said, Indy is got a solid wealth of talent, and any one of them can make things happen at any given moment. That's the dangerous part. There's not one player that I'm pointing at that I'm specifically scared of.
Right.
Maybe Jack Blake, but again, Jack Blake's had a great year. Jack Blake, Romario Williams, Elvis Mo, Edward Kizza, Cam Lindley, Aiden Quinn. These guys are guys we've heard around the league for a while.
Yep.
And at any given moment, one of them can make things happen. So if you get two of them that are having a good night, things get troublesome. Is that a word?
That's correct.
So
yeah, troublesome.
My read on Indy. Anything else from you, Eureka?
Yeah, Indy 11's, which is crazy. They've given up the most goals in the USL Championship at 28. Yeah. It is by far, it is the worst. They only have a -2 goal differential, which shows you how, that's the story of their season.
Yeah,
like you just said, it's the sum of the parts that's phenomenal on offense. You can't pick a poison. They've got a lot of weapons. They've got a lot, and any one of them can go crazy. Any one of them can go ballistic at any moment. But they do give you opportunities. They will give you a chance to score on them, and we put three in the net against them just a short time ago.
Yeah.
So it's, you know, whatever you want to call it, roller coaster, seesaw, whatever you want to say. For as dangerous as they are on offense, they have some holes defensively that you can exploit.
Absolutely.
So, yeah, that's kind of my read on Indy before we get to our predictions. So.
Yeah. Like you said, conceded the most goals. That's certainly what's losing them games or drawing games for them. That being said, you still need to take advantage of those chances because, like I said, they've started to figure things out. They haven't conceded as much in the last few games.
Yeah.
Well, with the exception of four goals against North Carolina, they shut out against Monterey Bay, shut out against Rhode Island, both at home, and then one goal conceded against Tulsa at home. It's one goal allowed at home in their last three games. I think they're figuring things out, like I said, especially at home. So it's going to be a challenge. I have my prediction. Eureka, do you have yours?
I do, sir.
Okay. Go for it. You take the lead here.
Prove me right in my belief.
Yeah.
And prove me wrong in my prediction. Mm. I think, unfortunately, we lose this game 2-1. You said it, like you encapsulated it, and I'll just end it right here. Can the Rowdies take advantage of the opportunities that are given to them? They will get them. The Rowdies will have opportunities laid at their feet to put into the net. Are they going to go high? Are they going to go wide? Are they going to just miss out on the cross? Or can they prove me wrong in this prediction and put them in the net?
Yeah.
2-1 lost, Tempe Rowdies on the road in a long, weary road trip.
Yeah. A weird road trip too, by the way. This is, if anyone has been living under the bridge, and we forgot that we started like the season with that weird road trip. It's this kind of making up of games. And we had that really weird home stretch. It was the outlying hurricane situation. It's still affecting us. Super weird. But my prediction, I'm going to give you a 1-1 draw. I feel that we're not all that far from figuring things out. Indy is closer to figuring things out on their end than we are. But again, I'm going off of the vibes of the last few games we've had over there. At Indy, two wins in our last three over there, one draw. Based on where we are, I feel like that's a fair prediction, if not a little optimistic. But I'm not unconvinced that we can go there and get a win either. We had a good matchup against them just a month ago. I know we're playing away now, and that does make things a bit more challenging. We hate playing on turf. But I'm not totally out on us in this matchup, I don't think. Again, tactically, I feel like we match up well. We know this team pretty well, too. I don't know how well Dom knows them, but I'm sure Steve Coleman will fill them in. And I think we can go there and get a good result before we make things a little more challenging.
Head to to happen so much. North
Carolina. So, yes. All right. That's our take on Indy 11. I'm James Knowles. Yeah, there it is.
You're James now. Yeah, okay.
extra time. I got nothing. Copa America Feminina still happening. England won the Women's Euros. That was a fun watch. Good game. Okay. Went to penalties all the way over there. Eureka, anything going on? You're in the broader soccer world?
Yeah, the Sun have just started their camp. They're nice. Starting to push some stuff out to social media.
Yeah.
As I choke here.
There you go.
No, they're trying to come back after their championship run in their inaugural season. Yeah, so
the first chance.
First ever. And they're the only ever USL Super League champions because now it's the Gainbridge Super League. So now we got to win that. We are the first ever and only forever USL Super League champions.
Yeah.
Can we do the double? So stay tuned. Also, amazing podcast here at the RBLR Network that Tom and Liz do every week. There is no off season at RBLR. Like whether it's the Bolts, the Rays, the Rowdies, the Sun, the everything, we never take a week off just because the team is off and they're not playing games. We don't play games either. We're here every week putting in work for you to give you more of the team that you love. So let me throw that little pitch in there. But please, if you like what you heard, James is too humble to say this, but let me be the cheerleader. James and Carlos kick ass every week. They put hard work into this. They are the best in the business. It's my favorite podcast to listen to every week, and I get to be the first listener as the producer. But everyone works hard. Everyone puts their work in. They do this for you. They do this because we are fans. We love the team. We want them to win. We don't. It sucks when they lose.
Yeah.
And I hope that comes across every week because these guys kick ass every day. I'm in the chat with them every day. We are constantly mulling things over, putting things out. What if this? What if that? How did this? What's with that? I'm happy as the first listener of this podcast every week, and I hope you are too. So subscribe. I know that sounds so silly. I know everyone says that, but it's free and it's the easiest thing you can do to be I believe in Carlos. I believe in James. They kick ass. And that's all you gotta do is click that button to show your support. And it helps us and helps new people every week. I know there's new people. I see the data. There's new people every single week. Carlos, did you know that you are a podcaster on one of the top 5% podcasts in the entire world?
Wow.
I don't know if you knew that. I don't know if you knew that, but this podcast
is on my LinkedIn.
You could absolutely put that on your, you are the host of a top 5% podcast in the world of all podcasts. So please, click that button, and show Carlos and James that you think they rule as much as I do. So,
and Eureka, who does all the fun work behind the scenes, by the way. So we have a great time with all that. Shout out to our loyal fan, Eureka Wheeler. Always listening.
I bought the shirt for you. Yeah, Carlos. You're my favorite.
Follow us on our social medias as well. Subscribe on the podcast platform, Spotify, iHeartRadio, Apple, Google Podcasts. Always a great help. Follow Eureka at Eureka RBLR. What are you tweeting about, Eureka? What's going on?
Mostly professional wrestling and the Denver Summit. I don't know if I said that last week. If I did, I'll say it again. Yeah. Denver Summit, NWSL. I finally have a team to watch in the NWSL because it ain't going to be Orlando, brother. I'm sorry. Killer branding. I'm a big branding nerd. Killer branding, killer colors, super Denver to the core, all about it. I'm down. Let's go.
Yeah, I love it. Follow me at CarlosCPA10. I also, Eureka and I have been chatting about this. I've also gotten into wrestling recently, which has been fun. WWE is a chaotic
mess
of a reality TV show that happens in the wrestling rinks. So that's fun.
Yes.
But we talk about the rowdies. I'm tweeting about the rowdies, tweeting about soccer. Liga de Quito always in my feed as well. Follow me at CarlosCPA10 on Twitter. And of course, at RBLR Sports on Instagram, Twitter, TikTok, Facebook, Threads, anywhere you're on social media. We are there too. Eureka, big opportunity this weekend to turn things around. Start going in the right direction. Let's make it happen. Let's get those 3 points. Please, please, Eureka, I need it. Come on, you rowdy.
Prove me wrong, boys. Let's go, lads.
Thank you for tuning into this presentation by RBLR Sports. On your way out of the stadium, please remember to like and subscribe.